So yesterday I took a look out the window here and I saw two women on the river walk doing something at these new, I've been wondering what these things have been, these kind of stations that haven't had anything in them. Lo and behold, we find out that it is a story walk. So whenever you need any kind of information, what do? You call a librarian. We've got Tracy Campa joining us now. She's the children's librarian at the Grand Rapids Area Library. You know all, that's right, isn't it?
I know what I need to know at the time I need to know it.
Well, thank you for the email letting us know why you were out there. Tell us about this story walk.
Well, this is really, really exciting for us. We have done temporary story walks in the past. When Open Streets was going, we would set up a story walk for people to look at. But I've always dreamed of having a permanent story walk that we could change out several times throughout the year. And as difficult as COVID has been for us, it did open up some money that we would have otherwise used for programming. And our foundation, the Grand Rapids Area Library Foundation, came through for us big time, and we were able to get this permanent story walk. And indeed, it's 18 different stations along the river walk. You start the story next to the fishing pier, and you end it right by the walking bridge. So as you're taking this beautiful stroll, you can read a picture book. The first one that we have out there this time is called One Dark Night. It's written by Lisa Wheeler and illustrated by Ivan Bates. And in One Dark Night, Mouse and Mole are on a nighttime adventure, and they come up to Bear, who is very, very hungry. And I will let you come down and walk the story walk and find out what happens. If for those of you who need to know, it's a pretty happy ending. And I also just want to tell people that right now our story walk is backed with this somewhat loud pink paper. That's only temporary. We are getting a permanent light gray backing. So I think that it kind of jars against the nature as I'm sitting in my office staring at it, but I promise you that's only for this story. The next story we will have something that blends a little bit better with the nature.
I did wonder about the pink. This is such a great idea, getting people outside. And since, I mean, the library is, you can go pick up books, which I have been maybe using it too much to pick
Never.
Up my books. So the library is still going strong, but just in different capacity now with COVID-19. And this is a great way if you've been missing all those summer events that happen at libraries. You can do this on your own.
Absolutely. We also have in the window of the children's library, we have a really fun I Spy game. It's really fun because I like to play it, so therefore it's got to be really fun. We have our first one up now. We're going to switch that out at the end of the week for a new I Spy game. And so if you're coming to pick up books anyway, you might as well park. You can take a walk. Our picnic tables have returned, which is great. So we have lots of families having picnics in our yard. You can do the I Spy window. Now you can walk the story walk. Our first and last panels are not back from the printers yet, but we should get them sometime this week. And they're just an introductory and a thank you panel. So the full story is there. And like I said, we hope to switch it out about every 6 weeks to have a new story for you, except in the winter. The path doesn't get used as much in the winter, so I think every, 8 weeks or so in the winter, we'll switch it out. I also want to highly encourage families to give us a call. We realize it's really, really, really difficult to pick out picture books and even sometimes chapter books and early reader books online. We have lots of people checking out books online. We're averaging over 50 people a day picking up books through our drive-through window. But recognizing the fact that it's really, really hard, we have a lot of families who are calling us directly. Our phone number here at the Children's Library, the direct line, don't tell anybody I'm telling
okay,
you this,
no,
but
yes.
Here's the direct line. Area code 218-327-8823. And that will ring the children's desk. You can talk to Dion. You can talk to me. And we'll ask you some questions, get some idea about what your kiddos are looking for, and we would be happy to pull books for you. It only takes us about an hour to gather everything and get it all ready for you, and then you can come through and pick it up. There's been a lot of people using that service, and we would love to have more people use that service.
Huh. What do you think is the most important thing to a children's book? What stands out for you? What are some of your qualities you look for?
It depends on who you are. For a picture book, I'm looking for vivid illustrations, for the most part. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. I'm looking for illustrations that match the text. So if it's a calm story, I want calm illustrations, but I also want interesting illustrations. I tend to go for story, so that I want a good beginning, middle, and end, which sometimes is lacking in a picture book. Sometimes a picture book just kind of fizzles out. You know, think of something like Guess How Much I Love You, which is a great book, but there's not a lot of story there. So I tend to go for story. Some people are really surprised to learn that even as a children's librarian, I read probably 5 different review sources every month to curate my list for collection development. And in the children's department, we're purchasing books anywhere from birth through about the age of 13 or 14, and then YA takes over after that. So we have a pretty broad age range and a range of needs. So it really depends on what I'm looking for. A chapter book, obviously, I can't review it all before I purchase it because I just don't have that much time. So I rely heavily on reviews for those sorts of things. When we get closer to Newbery Monday, which happens in January, I'm really looking at lots of articles just to make sure I can have the best of the best available for our community. And interestingly enough, community standards really have a lot to do with what ends up on your shelves, because we weed books obviously regularly. I mean, you only have a certain amount of what I call real estate on the shelf. So what is there needs to earn its place there. It needs to be a book that is checked out. We look at anything in our library that hasn't checked out in a year or more and make a decision about that book. You know, is it not checked out because it's not in the right place? Has it not been checked out because I screwed up when I ordered it and just ordered something bad? Everybody makes mistakes. Does it need to be someplace else? Do we need to market it to a different group of people? All of those things goes into collection development, and things like professional journals are invaluable as we're purchasing new books. And even though our library is technically locked, you can't come in, every one of our books can go out, and we continue to do collection development even when the doors are locked. And in some aspects, I would say when our doors open again, we will have a significantly more vibrant collection than we have had in years, because we have time right now to really look into the reasons why some things aren't being checked out.
I bet you miss those kids, though, huh?
Oh, I can't even tell you. Oh, my gosh. It is so weird to be in here. And we've been back in the library since the middle of May. Before that, we were working from home, and it is just still really strange for me to not have kids in here. Even when we open up our doors, people can expect our toys to be put away and such, because until we have ways that we know we can keep our patrons, particularly our little patrons, safe, even when our doors open, protocol will demand that we limit access to things like toys and computers for kids and things like that. So even then, it's going to look strange. We're working really hard towards that, towards the time when we can open our doors. But the more we learn about this virus, the more we realize that having groups of people in an enclosed space is the enemy. And that's exactly what a library is. So we will get to the point where we can open our doors, but we'll have to do it with some pretty strict protocols.
Yeah. It's a smart thing to do.
Oh, man, we're trying. Yeah. We're really trying.
Yeah. So, Tracy, you don't just read children's books. What are you reading for yourself right now? Name me one of them on your nightstand. I'm assuming there's a big stack.
Oh, there is a huge stack on my nightstand. A lot of children's books, but I just finished Carl Hyacinth's Island Girl, which is one of those books that I call a guilty pleasure because it's just so much fun to read. He is just, the guy's funny and hilarious, and I very much enjoyed that. Let me see. What else?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say, and I have been really enjoying lately revisiting a lot of Fanny Flagg. And I think just because I enjoy her stuff, because it's just so calming. And there's generally always a happy ending. And I very much enjoy reading Fanny Flagg in times of stress. I've also been reading some Frederick Bachman. I just did Beartown, and now I'm doing Us Against You. Oh, and a nonfiction book I highly recommend, and it happens to be in the children's department, but it doesn't matter. It's called Torpedoed by Deborah Heiligman, and it is about the SS City of Benares, which was a ship carrying about 90 children across the ocean from England. They were headed to Canada, and they were torpedoed by a German SS boat, a sub. And that is edge of your seat. I would highly, highly recommend anybody who enjoys any kind of nonfiction or fiction, or anybody who has ever read a book before, to check out Torpedoed by Deborah Heiligman.
You know, I was trying to explain to my husband, I feel fortunate because I have found in this pandemic a new series to read, and he just doesn't quite get it. But you know what I mean.
I totally know.
I'm on book 4 of the Maisie Dobbs series.
Oh, I love Maisie. And I finished, what was my latest Maisie I read? I read one just a couple months ago. Which was it? So, and you are actually reading those in order, correct?
I am, yep. Because I got the first one handed to me by someone. And so now, you know, as long as you read the first one, you might as well do it in order.
That's right. Okay, I just finished 10, okay. just in, you know, a couple months ago.
Right.
Leaving Everything Most Loved was the one that I just read. So,
you know, I was thinking as I was reading it last night, because I just did the drive-through yesterday on my way home, was so excited. It's not, you know, it's a mystery, so that's really fun about it, of course, because
right.
She's always, but I love this idea that she has. I mean, it's so much about thinking with Maisie Dobbs, you know, and about, like, listening to yourself, even though she's solving cases about other people. And she's always doing two cases at once.
I know.
And it helps the other case. And I really get that. Like, if you move your mind away from something you're trying to figure out, you can solve it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's my guilty pleasure right now, and I'm so excited. Well, Tracy, we could talk books forever, but we really appreciate it. Thank you for putting up that story walk. I'm excited to go do it myself. It's here on the banks of the Mississippi River. You start at the fishing pier in front of the Grand Rapids Area Library. The book that is there is called One Dark Night by Lisa Wheeler. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you, Heidi. You have a great day.
You too.